and welcome to Aviation Safety Magazine's continuing audiocast series on topics of risk management and accident prevention in general aviation. Does Cessna's Caravan have an ice problem? Aviation Safety Magazine's Jeb Burnside interviewed Suburban Air Freight's Jeffrey Gallup to learn more about the recent attention directed at the Caravan. Here's Jeb's report.
Today's topic is generally the Cessna Caravan and airframe icing, but specifically we want to talk about airframe icing as the FAA understands it and the regulatory treatment of in-flight icing. Jeff, you have a lot of experience in these areas as a principal and an officer there at Suburban Air Freight. You folks operate year-round, summertime and thunderstorms. You operate in the wintertime and icing conditions. How many aircraft do you have?
About 20 or 21 airplanes right now. Beech 1900s, Beech 99s, and Caravans. And we have some airplanes up in Alaska that are the old Aero Commander 680FL that we still operate. We fly scheduled routes. Probably 99% of our flights are scheduled routes for UPS or DHL or post office or things like that.
When you say scheduled routes, of course, you're doing most of this, I would presume, under Part 135 as a non-sched operator, but you know from day to day where your airplanes are and that kind of thing.
Yeah, same routes every day, same time.
Looking at the Caravan and the question of how it handles airframe ice, of course, there have been some accidents, shall we say, over the last decade or so. The NTSB got very interested in the Caravan's accident history and made some noise and made some recommendations to the FAA. The FAA approved it for flight into known icing conditions. And here comes the NTSB knocking at the door saying, well, you know, maybe you didn't do your job right, or maybe the airplane shouldn't have been approved for flight into known icing. Is there a characteristic of the Caravan that makes it more susceptible to icing?
No, not at all. In fact, if you look at a Caravan nose on, just stand right in front of the airplane and look at it, virtually everything you see is covered by de-ice boots. The boots go out to an inch from the end of the wingtip. If you stand in front of Beech 99 and look at it, you'll see there's a whole lot of wing surface at the tip and the root and inboard of the engines that's not covered by de-ice boots. And the Caravan really has probably a higher percentage of frontal area that's de-iced than most airplanes. And that really has a beneficial effect on its ability to fly on ice. It's really not a bad airplane in the ice at all. In fact, it's pretty good in a number of ways because it tells you what it's doing, and it's very honest, and it lets you know that you're starting to degrade performance with accumulations on wherever you might happen to get them. So it tells you what it's doing, and then it behaves predictably and controllably. The Caravan, as you may know, ice poses a problem in two ways, performance and controllability. Some airplanes have some problems in controllability, some in performance, some in both, what have you. But the Caravan will show degradation performance, as any airplane will, in icing conditions. But it doesn't have any kind of controllability problem, at least none that anybody has ever been able to find. It just doesn't exist. But the airplane does tell you what it's doing, and let you know. We've had the airplane for a number of years and flown in every kind of icing imaginable. It just doesn't have bad habits. What's happened is that we've seen that with respect to icing, that myth and misconception and misperception and flat-out ignorance have been the biggest issues. And I don't mean just within the operators. I mean within the agency, within the FAA even. And we're seeing is that people are writing ADs that don't seem to have any concept of what they're writing. They're trying to conduct flight instruction in ADs, and it's frustrating. The problem is, in almost every case where we've seen an accident, the airplane has been asked to do something that it's not designed to do, and it's beyond its capability. You remember the Canadians were all excited about the Winnipeg event 2 years ago, or 3 years, whatever it's been.
This is the one that crashed shortly after takeoff, as I recall.
Yes. Yeah. And they were all in a toot to declare the airplane unable to fly in even moderate icing and shoot everybody that operated one or what have you. Well, the Canadians got all excited about that before checking to find out that, in fact, the airplane in that instance was 488 pounds above the max gross weight limit. Nice.
Uh-huh.
It was operated at speeds way below minimum speeds. There was some apparent pre-takeoff contamination.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, the pilot, at the last minute, with a bunch of ice, overweight, tried to turn, and the load factor did it.
Uh-huh.
So here's, we have the airplane is operated in excess of what a reasonable scenario should look like. There's going to be adverse outcomes.
Yeah.
But the problem is, rather than looking at that and attributing it to operating outside of reasonable performance parameters, some folks within the agencies have jumped up and down and said, well, that tells you that the airplane shouldn't fly at all in icing. And that's simply not rational.
Why have the NTSB and the FAA been so concerned about the Caravan that they've come up with all of these ADs and they've spent so much time and energy on trying to change the way that it's flown?
Well, there certainly have been a number of high-profile, you might almost say political, lawsuits and sources that have called for action, and sometimes those get in the way of due process. When you look at the accidents that have occurred, in almost every case, you'll find that there's been something done to the airplane that placed it outside of its operating envelope or outside of what perhaps could be called good operating practices. And part of that, my honest opinion, has to lie at the feet of the regulatory agency.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, if you recall, the term known icing certification didn't even exist. It came about in the early 1970s, 73 or thereabouts.
Right.
Yes, and everybody liked that idea when it came along because they thought, well, gosh, here we've got this black and white standard. Well, that's not the case. We don't have a black and white standard. But everybody jumped on that term and embraced it. The FAA, the industry, manufacturers, the marketing folks loved it, of course, because then you could, you know, stick out your chest and say, my airplane is known icing, you know, as well as my airplane is air-conditioned or my airplane is turbocharged or what have you. But the pilot community looked at that and over the years have taken it to mean something that it does not mean. And the simple version of it is everyone has gotten the idea that when you hang a placard on the airplane that says known icing certified, that is suddenly magically immune to ice. And I've used the analogy, you know, remember when we were young, Captain Kirk in the Starship Enterprise, you know, and Ensign Sulu would call Klingons on the horizon, and Captain Kirk would command, shields up, and all the photon torpedoes would just bounce harmlessly off the starboard bow. Well, sometimes people tend to think, mistakenly so, that a known icing airplane has this magic protective switch. You flip the switch and poof, you're immune to icing. You can fly all day in icing. And that is not the case. There's never been an airplane made that can fly all day in moderate icing. And we have to get that information out to pilots and have them understand how to make decisions. That is probably the biggest task that we have to do as an industry and I think within the agency.
Do you think that the efforts by the Regional Air Cargo Carriers Association helped to move that ball closer to the goalpost?
Certainly. RAC has been at the forefront of this, and Cessna has really come to the table on this to help get it across and put on, you know, training seminars. They even load people up and projectors and equipment up and fly them literally from Alaska, you know, to Maine and wherever else, to hold seminars and teach people basics of icing and what makes good sense and what doesn't make good sense. And I think that by doing all of this, we're getting the word out to pilots and training them to understand what they're dealing with and why certain things make good sense and certain things don't. And if we can educate pilots, give them the tools to make good decisions, not just memorize, but make good decisions, then we'll change their behavior, and we will lower the accident rate.
Well, that would tend to apply to other aircraft types, would it not?
Yes, and to be honest, I think what you're going to see is is this initiative where the FAA's come to the table with Cessna at the table and RACA and industry folks all getting together and just candidly hammering out what's going on and why and what do we do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the end product of that, which is a training program where a particular manufacturer trains people how to fly A, in the ice, and B, how to fly in the ice in their airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what we're going to see coming along. This is just the prototype and the mm-hmm. The leading edge of this wave. At least I hope it is.
Yeah, almost a type rating for aircraft that don't require type ratings.
Well, you know that if you plunk down $100,000
mm-hmm.
and buy yourself a brand new set of shiny amphibious floats to put on your 206,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you can go out and land on a lake.
Right, exactly.
You have
right.
to get some training.
Exactly right.
And the fact that we sell people, or the manufacturers sell people a certified no-nice airplane for an extra $100,000 or whatever it costs, it just seems silly to say, well, here's this equipment, hope you figure out how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
A much more sensible approach, I think, is for the manufacturer to teach people how to use it, what's going on in icing, why does it happen, and how does our particular airplane work well or not work well in various kinds of icing. I think it's a great solution.
Well, very good, Jeff. I cannot thank you enough for your time here today. Jeffrey Gallup with Suburban Air Freight in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you all for listening.
The January issue of Aviation Safety features an in-depth article on how Cessna, industry, and the FAA work together to better understand how to fly the airplane in winter weather. Comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. And if you want to check out Aviation Safety online, it's www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.